Hare Krishna. If anything can mean anything, then ultimately everything means nothing. Some people are inveterate deconstructionists, and they try to find out various kinds of meanings in every word. And thus they think of their own creativity in terms of coming up with meanings that no one before has ever thought of before. Now yes, that could be one kind of intelligence to think about meanings that no one has thought about. But at the same time, that is not the only, that is not necessarily the sign of intelligence. Because that may lead us to creatively finding out new interpretations for things. But that doesn't lead us essentially to understand what the original person has said. So, if anything can mean anything, then ultimately everything means nothing. Because you say, I tell you, go there or bring this to me. And then you say, me. Somebody starts interpreting me. Actually, me in English is a reference to I, but me in some other language means some other thing, or maybe in English only, in the past it might have meant some other thing, and therefore actually me doesn't mean me when he's saying bring that water to me. Actually, they're referring to someone else. When we start trying to go so much into words and we yes, philosophy of language and semantics can be a complex subject, but essentially we don't have to bring complexity where there is no complexity there. We can, if as I say, keep things simple, stupid. The point is that we can keep things simple. We do have the capacity, and often there is a necessity to keep things simple. So that the idea that there is no ultimate meaning, that there is no ultimate foundation, Krishna talks about this as a demoniac idea when he says asatyam apatishtam te jagadahuran ishwaram aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. In 16th chapter 8th text, Krishna says asatyam apatishtam te asatyam asatya. There is no truth. So there is no truth is of course a very general statement, but one aspect of the statement is that there is no true meaning of things. And when people think like this, then especially if they apply this to Bhagavad Gita, they sometimes come to very counterintuitive and irrational kind of conclusions. So for example, in the 9th chapter 34th verse, Krishna very unambiguously urges us to become devoted to him. He says, man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. So he says, manmana bhava mad bhakto, become devoted to me. Manmana, fix your mind on me. Bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances to me. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam, you will come to me being engaged like this. Atmanam matparayanaha, matparayanaha. When your life, soul is devoted to me like this, you will definitely come to me. So here, Krishna is very clearly referring to him. Manmana, bhavmad bhakto. So two first person references. Madhyaji, mam namaskuru. Two more first person references. Then mam evaishis yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. Two more. So there are six first person references in this verse. And yet some people try to argue that actually Krishna is not asking us to surrender to him. He's asking us to surrender to the unborn within him. Now, if we start interpreting meanings like this, then we may be exhibiting our cleverness, but our cleverness does not really bring any nearness within us to the author, to the speaker, whose words we are interpreting. And that's why we need to very carefully and respectfully approach texts, especially those texts which are sacred texts, which are considered by the tradition to be the revealed words of God. Those texts need to be approached in a careful, reverential way. And if we understand them in the living tradition of Bhakti scholars, then we can get a proper understanding and we can move onwards in our life, being enriched by that understanding. So, hey, if anything can mean anything, then everything means nothing, because then even their explanation of something can also be interpreted in 100 ways, and there is no intrinsic meaning left to anything. And we could say their own books have no meanings, their own arguments have no meanings, and we sink into a morass of meaninglessness when we take the ambiguity of words as a license for unlimitedly elastic interpretations. By understanding words in the overall context of the text, in the overall tradition in which the text has been understood, understanding texts in a way that they can apply and transform our lives, and in a way that is coherent with the overall purpose of the text, then we can actually benefit from that text. So things have inherent meanings, and the purpose of our intelligence is not to screw out new meanings, but the purpose of our intelligence is to go through, sift through the various possible misconceptions and misinterpretations to understand the original intended meaning of the speaker or the author. Thank you. Hare Krishna.